Smash your FM radio. Indy 100 rocks.
What's everybody? It's Tyrone Tan here on StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indy100.com Radio, and UBN. And I just want to say thank you to all the listeners from around the world that have been tuning to my show. And it's because of you guys I get to do what I do. And I'm always grateful and appreciative of all you guys' listenership. We're going to have a great show for you guys today. If you're into cool movies such as The Sandlot and Boy Meets World, shows like that, or a lot of that, we got my guest of the hour, Marty York, actor-producer, coming into the studio. But before that, we want to do a couple plugs. Again, if you want to see a lot more celebrity interviews or back archive shows, go to our main production website, which is at www.starroseentertainment.tv. That's www.starroseentertainment.tv. Also, if you like the music we're going to be playing, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indy100@gmail.com. And if you like to see our in-studio guest photos, such as our guest of the hour, Marty York, go to our Facebook page over on Star Roast Entertainment over on Facebook. And then if you want to hit me up on socials, that's at Tyrone Tan over on, formerly known as Twitter, which is now X, T-Y-R-O-N-E-T-A-N as in Nancy, N as in Nancy. And then thanks to the hacker there, at Tyrone Tan Official over on Instagram. And then there's this new thing called Threads, which you can check me out on Threads as well. Tyrone Tan Official over on Threads. And then if you really, really, really want to hit me up on Facebook, I'm Tyrone Tan over on Facebook. Okay, first off, we wanted to say thank you to all the wonderful guest co-hosts. We normally bring on our guest co-host, but my guest co-host is working on a project right now. But so I just want to say thank you to all the awesome guest co-hosts that have, you know, that we've had on here throughout the seasons. I know this is a brand new year. This is our third show of this new year. And I just want to say thank you all for, again, if I didn't get to say it last time, last week, I just want to say thank you all for just your loyalship for the last, I mean, I've been doing this show for almost close to almost 15 years now, I think. And I just want to say thank you for everyone's loyal listenership. And we want to kick off this new 2025 year with a bang. And I just want to say thank you all, seriously. And I love reading all your emails and all that kind of good stuff that you send. I may not get to read all of them off the air, but I do read them. And I do like to just tell you guys thank you. So it means a lot. So hopefully you get those coming in. So what we're going to do, we're going to do something special. I'm going to, instead of having my guest co-host do some movie reviews, I'm going to bring in my guest of the hour early, and then we'll talk about some stuff possibly, and then also, go into this person's, bio and all that kind of good stuff. So this here's the little backstory. So this guest, I've got to interview throughout the years on the carpet, but we have even a backer history that we met years ago when he did an episode of a show called Saved by the Bell, the New Class. And then he reminded me that we met backstage, but also, you know, he's also, done projects with actually a number of friends of mine on things through the years. But what you might remember him from is from this classic I would say baseball flick kind of movie that is very beloved from a lot of people, called The Sandlot. I believe his character is Yaya. And so what we're going to do, we're going to be bringing in this actor, and then he's also producing this new documentary called The Sandlot Legend. So we're just going to be bringing him in. This guy is like a hunky guy. So I thought we'd bring him kind of like gladiator style, like on a chariot or so, just to make him feel like, you know, like this guy's a manly man kind of guy. So I thought we'd bring him in that kind of style, make him feel special and welcome on this chariot, kind of like gladiator style. And we're going to bring him in on the count of three. We'll whistle in the horses, and then we'll do some movie reviews and then talk about his career. So I'm going to press the button there. There's a bunch of fans outside, and here we go. One, two, and three. All right. All right, here he comes down the chariot, waving to all the fans. Look at all that. They're all throwing roses at him, throwing numbers. I don't know if he's taking girls. I don't know. Oh, he's stopping for some selfies, signing some autographs there. Here he comes. Oh, look at all. Look. Bulging muscles, all that kind of good stuff. Here he comes off the chariot, taking more selfies with some fans. Oh, look at that. Oh, look how sweet. Them throwing roses and stuff and throwing some other stuff I'm not going to say. And here he comes into the studio. Again, he's from movies such as The Sandlot, TV shows such as Boy Meets World. He's an actor. He's a producer. And producing this new documentary called The Sandlot Legend, here he is, my dear friend, Marty York.
What's up? What's up?
Welcome, Marty York.
It's actually Martimus Cerulius.
What is it?
Martimus Cerulius.
Martimus Cerulius,
yeah.
York.
Yeah, because you had that intro.
Yeah, so, well, yeah. Martimus Cerulius York,
yeah,
a.k.a. Marty York.
Yeah.
Welcome to StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN.
Yeah.
Welcome, man.
Yeah, that rock music you had in the beginning. You could be like a WWE wrestler, man, and walk
Tyrone Tan.
Well, again, welcome. Okay, Marty York, a.k.a. Martimus Cerulius.
Yeah, you played the gladiator
To StarRoseEntertainment.tv, Indie100.com Radio, and UBN. Actually, it's not from Gladiator movie. I think it's a gladiator-esque kind of intro. But
yeah,
we thought it fits you well.
No, thank you for that.
Cool. So what we're going to do really quick before we get into your body of work and all that kind of good stuff, like my guest co-host is off for today, so we're going to do a quick movie review or maybe TV show review. And I think we kind of talked off here. Have you seen any movies or TV shows lately or anything like that?
Man, the last movie I saw, I mean, in the theaters was Beetlejuice.
Okay.
As far as TV, I think the last show I saw was Cobra Kai.
Okay, yeah, which I love the Cobra Kai show as well. And you know, it's cool throughout the years. It's funny. I just actually were with Zolo the other day. He was at the Saturn Awards and the creators of the show.
Yeah.
So I've got to interview him and a lot of the cast through the years. So I love that show.
The show's just done correctly, and it's if you're going to do a show like that where you're bringing back, you know, Karate Kid, you want to bring back all the original characters.
Correct.
And the way they did it by pacing the show and having characters come through every season is the correct way, I think, to do a show.
No, and I think that's what was their winning formula. I think that's why that lasted. But what I'm going to do really quickly before we go into the nitty gritty of your career and all that kind of, because I'm going to talk a quick review on a show. It's called The Skeleton Crew. It's Star Wars Skeleton Crew. I don't know if you've heard of this. It's a series. It's on Disney Plus. And I think I want to promote this a little bit. Actually, we just had one of the stars of the show, Ryan Kira Armstrong, who plays Fern, aka Captain Fern, on the show last week, and I just thought I would promote it because it's now they have all the 8 episodes out, and I haven't really got to give a review on this, and so I thought I'd do a quick review again. So this is Star Wars Skeleton Crew. Again, it's on Disney Plus. Thanks to IMDb. Here's our little quick synopsis: 4 kids make a mysterious discovery on their home planet that leads them to get lost in a strange, dangerous galaxy. Creators created by Christopher Ford and John Watts, and starring the awesome Jude Law, Ryan Kira Armstrong, Kiriana Cratter, and we also got Ravi Kabat Conyers, and then we have Robert Timothy Smith. There's a Jaleel White's in this, Nick Frost, Dominic Burgess. There's a Tunde Adebimpi, but there's a plethora of great talent that, if I'm forgetting everybody, I apologize. But the four main core of the kids, Ryan Kira Armstrong, Robert Timothy Smith, Kiriana Cratter, and Robbie Cabot Conyers play the kids that get lost, and then they encounter Jude Law's character. So I've got to see this all throughout, and I've had the pleasure of not only having Ryan Kira on, and then I've got to interview Kiriana Cratter on the carpets, and I wasn't sure. And I'll be honest, I wasn't sure about how the show was going to go, because there's some shows that were hit or miss in the Star Wars universe. But I am a Star Wars fan, forever, since I was a kid. So I always like to support the Star Wars universe. But I have to tell you, if you have not seen this show, it is one of the better shows, and I think one of the best that since I think for me, it would be right up there with Mandalorian, that's out there. And I really was going into hesitation, but I really love the show, and it's been getting such great reviews, and a lot of people have been loving it, and everyone that I've talked to said the same thing. They would say the same thing. I hesitated, and then I watched it, and I wanted to watch the second episode and then third. And next thing you know, now they're done with the full season. They just finished with the all 8 episodes. So they're out there, and I just want to give a strong promotion for it because, again, you know, got to become friends with some of these people, and I just really, really do like the show. So the show is just – if you love movies like The Goonies or E.T. or stuff like that, I would say the best thing I could say, it's like Goonies in outer space. Goonies meets Stranger Things in outer space. So that's pretty much what I think the feeling is. And I think a lot of people, it's got that nostalgia feeling of the style that they're doing it, the kind of story and the action. And it's just a fun family kind of show, but it's really cool. So I highly recommend checking out. It's Star Wars Skeleton Crew. It's out there on Disney Plus. So check it out. And that's for you. Ryan Keir Armstrong, who was one of our guests on the show just last week. So I wanted to say that. And Kiriana Crowder as well, who's also someone that I adored interviewing. So again, so that's it. So have you got to see it by any chance, Marty?
I haven't, but I do like the premise of it. And if you're saying it's as good as The Mandalorian, I'll check it out because I loved that show.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's two different things, but The Mandalorian is the one that I really just loved, and then the other ones I was just like, and then this one is like, I think because I grew up with movies such as like E.T. and Goonies and stuff like that, so I think that's the best, like that feeling that you get when you watch it. So
yeah, I mean, I've never really been big into Star Wars. I was always big into comic books.
Okay.
I collected comic books, you know, my whole childhood. My first job was in a comic book shop.
Wow, okay.
And I saw Mandalorian, and I was like, you know, you don't even have to know anything about Star Wars to, like, love the show.
It
was that good.
Gotcha. Well, let's go. I would not take you. I thought you would have been a Star Wars fan, but I guess not. Not as big. Yeah.
Not really a huge Star Wars fan.
Well, what we're going to do, since we got that out of the way, that review, we're going to go straight to Marty York's career. So what we want to do, I don't know if you did you by any chance get the memo? The memo is we start off with a hard-hitting question, and then we kind of, like, you know, you go a little lighter on that. So the hard-hitting question for fans, if not fans that know you already, but maybe, you know, get more fans or support you. We want to get to know you and hopefully get to support you even more. But we want to start off with this hard-hitting question. The hard-hitting question is, where are you born and raised?
I was born in Northern California in Auburn.
Okay.
And I lived there till I was about 10. Did a lot of theater from about probably 7 to 10 years old.
Okay.
At the local theater company. And the woman that owned the theater company, Nelda, she basically told my mom, I was like starring in all the plays. And they started advertising me in the newspapers as, you know, because people would come to see me and I played all these different characters. And like Snow White and the Seven Dwarves and a play called Rotten Rook and Red Rock and Cheaper by the Dozen. And I just did all these plays as a kid, and I was very enthusiastic. I actually used to get in trouble in school, and the principal is the one that said I should probably get into plays or doing something to, you know, exert that, you know, that energy that I had in the classroom. And so, did all these plays. And then when I was about 10 years old, my mom and dad split, and my mom basically moved me to L.A., and said, basically my aunt was the owner of one of the largest extras casting agencies in L.A. at the time.
Okay.
It was called Cenex Casting.
Oh, I remember that. Totally. Yeah, Cenex, yeah. So there was Cenex, and I think there was Central. Remember? Yeah. They said, or something, but I remember.
I think Central's still around. Cenex, okay, she was Cenex.
Okay.
Yeah. And she actually ran the whole company.
Wow.
And so she said, hey, I'm going to put you and your mom in a movie with John Candy. And it was called Delirious, and it was 1990. And I remember just being like, kind of in the waiting area playing Game Boy, and then we went out and we shot. And when they said cut, I did John Candy's lines to my mom.
Yeah.
And John Candy, all of a sudden, I felt a tap on my shoulder, and I turned around, and John Candy was standing behind me. And I said, because he was like the biggest comedian in the world at that point. And he goes, you're pretty good, kid. And he's like, does he have an agent? To my mom.
Yeah.
And my mom said, no, you know, we're just starting in this business.
Wow.
And he took out a roll of toilet paper, and he actually cut a piece off, and he said he gave the number of an agent to my mom.
Wow.
And he said, give her a call. Tell her I recommended you guys. So my mom called him, or called the agency, which which was Media Artist Group.
Yeah,
the first agency I had.
Wow.
And I went in, I auditioned, and I got in the agency, and she said, do you guys have any plans this afternoon? I have an audition for him for a Colgate toothpaste commercial. Mom was like, yeah, sure. So I went to the Colgate toothpaste commercial. I had to dance with a little girl in the commercial, and I was like freaking out because, like, as opposed to theater where, like, yeah, I knew everybody and it was like the same cast of kids every time, it was like there was like producers and directors and lights everywhere and things like that. And I was scared and I hid behind the chair. And they were like, oh, come on, come out. They coaxed me out. And I came out, and there's, you know, this little girl, I guess, was a professional. She'd been doing this since she was born.
Wow.
And they were like, just dance with her like you've seen on TV. Have you seen this movie? Have you seen that movie? And I started dancing with her. And I got cast in the first thing I ever did was the Colgate toothpaste commercial.
Well, it was going to lead to my next question. What inspired you to become, or did you know growing up you always wanted to be an actor? But you said it kind of just happened, so to speak. But was that something, if you did not move out here, do you think that was an avenue you would have pursued on your own, become an actor or go into entertainment? Or
I don't think if I moved out here, I would have continued it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was just a thing I did as a kid. And I think once I moved out here, then that's when I started. That's when it went from being like a fun thing to like being like my job.
Got it. But that you had obviously a fun experience working with the John Candy film. Mm-hmm. What was it that you liked experiencing that? Because you probably just did that, just for fun. Like you said, your aunt said, hey, I got something for you guys.
Yeah.
And it is kind of easy. It's fun. And you make some money doing that. But was it something like, because some people could find that boring, especially extra work in the beginning, you know, like sitting around 8, 12, 14 hour days.
Yeah.
It could be boring, but you didn't find it boring, I guess. But what was it that you did like, at least when you were, you know,
doing the extra work?
Yeah.
I mean, I was just with my mom and, you know, I had, you know, trust in my mom. I had faith in whatever she took me to, and I had my Game Boy with me, you know, and I was playing that, you know, while she was going around, like, you know, looking at the set, and just, she was looking at everything, and she wasn't an actress. She just,
just was there.
Supporting.
Supporting
me. And whatever she wanted, at the time I was like, yeah, mom, sure, I'll do whatever, you know? I mean, that was like the only extra thing I ever did. And then that led to
the
Colgate commercial. And then we kind of like moved to an area in Woodland Hills.
Okay.
And I went to like this Catholic school. I'm not even Catholic. And I went to this Catholic school and didn't understand going up and getting the, you know, the cracker and all that stuff during the, you know, we had to all wear uniforms.
Yeah.
And, I kind of separated from my mom at the time. She wanted to make me a triple threat. So I was in dance class. I was in singing classes.
Oh, wow.
I was in like everything.
Got it.
Funny story. Like I actually remember she was taking me to an audition and she said, it's for a band of boys that are singing. And I go, well, you know, I don't want to do that, mom. I was like, I remember I was very adamant. I was like yelling at my mom, I don't want to do that. I don't want to sing a dance. And she was taking me to an audition for NSYNC.
Wow.
And I got so angry, I convinced her not to take me because I was like screaming that I didn't want to do it. But who knows how that would have turned out. That was before Sandlot.
Wow.
Well,
let's flash forward to. First off, was there an inspiration once you got in the industry? Was there anyone that inspired you into the acting at least, or was it again just kind of going along with it? Or was it John Candy? Or was it someone else that might have inspired you to get into the?
I think it was just going along with it at the time, and you know, I didn't get anything for like. Well, after I did the Colgate commercial, the same producers called me back to do a Ragu spaghetti sauce commercial, play an Italian kid playing bocce ball, and then I didn't get anything for like a year. And then I auditioned for Sandlot, and I remember I auditioned twice, and then I got the character of Bertram, who was a different character in the film.
Okay.
And at the time, they kind of took like all the kids out, kind of lined us up, and they said like, you don't really fit this role. And I was one of the people they pulled forward and said, I told my mom, he doesn't really fit this role. We have another character in mind for him. We actually had another kid playing this character. And the kid got injured, and he can't play the character anymore. There's a bigger character in the film named Yaya. And they're like, this kid has a ton of energy, and we need him to bring energy to the role, and he's got to just go in there and just, like, light it up with these casting directors and the director and everything. So my mom just took me to a liquor store, and she got me a giant Hershey's bar. And she said, you better eat the whole thing to give me the sugar rush.
Yeah.
And so I ate the Hershey's bar, and then I went in and the rest is history. And I became But the casting process for that was crazy because I think I went on like 6 auditions, and they auditioned kids from all over the United States for the roles of those kids in the movie. Yeah.
Well, it's funny. I don't think I got to see it in its initial release. The only reason I knew about it, I knew Mike Vitar, mm-hmm. who played Benny, but we had met, I think, after the movie had come out, and he was already doing Mighty Ducks 2 or something like Mighty Ducks. And that's, we met, and then I just knew, because we were involved with some of these teen magazines, and I just knew he had done stand-up, but it wasn't until as years went on, you know, people kept talking about the Sandlot, and now it's like, how many years later, the Sandlot has become this, like, you know, cult classic kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Now, doing that, at the time, when you got that role, I mean, to you, it was probably just another job, but did you have any foresight, maybe thinking, this is, you know, this is going to be kind of one of those movies that people are going to be watching for how many years now? I mean, it is a very beloved show. I mean, I've seen you guys going on these tour things and conventions slash, you know, going to the baseball games and throwing, I mean, all these things that not many baseball films get to do. But this particular film, is there anything that you had any inclination whatsoever going into this movie? Or was it just kind of like...
I didn't know what the movie would become. You know, I didn't know... and it kind of went into a lull, and I think like after I did Sandlot, my career just kind of like it kind of spiked. You know, I did right after that, I did the first season of Boy Meets World, and then I did
Saved by the Bell, the New Class, whatever. Not the New Class, the College Years.
The College Years.
Saved by the Bell.
You said the New Class. Yeah,
I think I said the New Class. So forgive me, I meant the College Years.
The
College Years.
Yeah, and then I did Sliders, and I did a bunch of other things, and I just, you know, it was going, and then I got in a bad car accident when I was 17.
Oh, wow, did not know that.
Yeah, and that kind of put the end to my career. I mean, I was competing against Elijah Wood for a lot of roles because we looked similar as kids. And, I got in a bad car accident in 97, broke both my legs, had to actually died on scene, had to relearn to walk again.
Really? Did not know that. Wow.
Yeah.
But then what kept you motivated, or what inspired you to keep going, or you know, get, well, here's the thing, people, if you're not seeing this, obviously it's audio, but people can look you up. You have definitely a very physical transformation from Yaya.
Yeah.
If you don't mind me saying, it's a very, you know, a typical little kid character. Uh-huh. Thin physique.
Yeah.
You know, like a typical, you know, sometimes a typical kid. But you've grown to be very machismo muscular, very, very bodybuilder style. So where did that transition come from, and what made you go, okay? Because like a lot of us, sometimes you need motivation. Yeah. Was it from the car accident, or was it like just something just as a, I just want to, you know, start to work out, that kind of thing? Because you it is a very big transformation, and I think people wouldn't recognize you as that character once they see it, if they go side by side. But at the same time, like, I have to go, wait, which character was he again? Like, because I was looking at some, you know, when I see friends that have posted about Sandlot, and then because we had re-met recently, years down the line, we had some mutual friends.
Yeah.
And so then I'm like going, oh, okay, you're that character. where was that, and people look him up. Check out Marty York. You can look. But where did the physical transformation come from, in the sense of going from, like I said, a typical, probably average physique to now, you know, like I said, that is part of your lifestyle now, right?
Becoming
a very muscular slash, you know, like you said, like almost... not to say it like this, but like He-Man-ish.
Thank you.
I mean, like, you know, like a He-Man bodybuilder. You know, like when you think of He-Man, you think of someone like big and, you know, physical.
Yeah.
So where do you think that motivated you?
Oh, man. After I got in the car accident, I did physical therapy for many, many years. Uh-huh. And I just started learning how to bodybuild. Like, they were like, you know, do this for this and do this for that and eat this for this and eat this for that. And I started learning how to do it, you know.
Yeah.
I just kept with it, and I kept doing it for years and years, and meeting different bodybuilders and them telling me how to, like, you know, do this and that and this and that. I just stuck with it. I learned it's not really about the weight, it's about the form, and it's about, you know, getting the proper amount of sleep and eating the correct things and taking vitamins, and there's a lot to it. And I just kept doing it, and I built my body up, and I started, you know, I was always the skinny kid. I always, like, looked up to, like, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Van Damme, and all those people. So I always wanted to be like that. And I just started working
out.
That's
awesome.
Yeah.
No, I mean, literally, it's inspiring for people because, like I said, they probably would not expect that particular character to be who you are right now. And it's probably cool not. That you're, you know, like I said, it's, you know, at least I think when people watch it, they're like, oh, wait, whoa. And then they yeah. obviously do get that where they're like, oh, I didn't even recognize you from not, let's say, you know, you from that character to, you know, to the character you are.
Yeah. I mean, I think enough people have seen me in, like, you know, interviews or seen me on TV with, you know, whatever stuff I have going on to know that I've, you know, gained muscle and stuff now. But for the ones that haven't, you know, they do see me and they're like, man, you got huge. What happened? I'm like, oh, I ate the beast at the end of the movie.
Yeah, that's what. But so you do, I mean, so you do this movie and then obviously you had no idea. And then when do you think you when was it that it occurred for you that you actually felt, okay, this is something special? Did it take how many years? Was it a certain amount, or was there something special that significant that happened that said, I just go, this is touching people's lives in a different way that I, you know, than any other movie that I've done or any project. Do you remember that one moment that you maybe could remember that made you go, this is something that it's hit a nerve with people?
I think for the 25th anniversary of the movie, I got that moment where I was like, wow. Because, you know, after Sandlot, I kind of just was something in my past. And I would go to school and people would obviously know why I'm in school and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, then I did all these other shows and I did the car accident happened. And then I kind of like, I left the business for probably like 15 years, like 15, 20 wow. years. And then we did the 20th anniversary of Sandlot, which really wasn't that big. I saw some of the guys again that I hadn't seen for, you know, 20 years. And it wasn't really that big until we did the 25th anniversary and Fox basically did a tour.
Wow.
And they did a tour of almost every baseball major league stadium in the United States. And when we did the tour, I remember like we were at Dodger Stadium and we came out of the Dodger dugout. Well, first of all, we met the Dodgers and these guys were fucking these guys were shaking.
Yeah.
And like, these guys are like major league baseball players. And like, I remember we took a picture with Matt Kemp and I was standing next to Matt Kemp, who's a Hall of Famer. And he was like shaking. He's like, dude, you guys are the reason I play baseball. And
wow.
I was like, what? Like, it was crazy. And then we went on the field. It was game 3 against the Giants and we sold out the field. It was 60,000 people there.
Wow.
And we got a standing ovation from 60,000 fans.
Wow.
And I think at that point I looked at the guys, because I hadn't seen some of these guys in 25 years.
Wow.
And I was like, what is happening? Like, is this real?
Yeah.
And at that point, I was just like, okay, this is... And then it just kept getting bigger and bigger. And then we were going to one stadium after another and getting standing ovations. And we did, like, the Marlins stadium when Derek Jeter was, like, partial owner of the stadium.
Yeah.
And he had, like, a suite right there. And we had a suite right here. And it was just two of us. It was me and the guy that played Bertram. And he goes like this to us. He's like, come here. And so we walked over to his suite. And he had two armed guards outside of the suite with berets on. And they moved out, they let us in, and he had every sushi known to man. He was like, help yourself. And I was like, oh, okay. Yeah. And then he goes, I want to thank you guys for raising the attendance level in my stadium, because it was Sandlot Day in the stadium.
Yeah.
And Marlins, you know, they're not like a big draw
in
Florida. So, I think the 25th anniversary, and then we got pop toys and everything like that.
Wow.
It was crazy.
That's awesome. Well, we're going to talk about, because you got, you're helping produce a documentary.
Yes.
Called The Sandlot Legend. Correct?
Yes.
We're going to cut to a music break really quick, and then we'll be back more with Marty York. And then before that, do you have any socials, websites, all that kind of good stuff really quick? And then
just Instagram, Marty_York.
And that's MARTY underscore YORK.
Yes.
You follow him and check out his physique, his bodybuilding physique, and to see the difference.
You're making me blush, man.
No, I just think it's cool because when I met you, you were a little like an average kid, so to speak, body. Like, listen, I'm not big at all. But I mean, I just remember. And then, so when we kind of re-met, I had to think about it. I had to jog. They're like, oh, yeah. And then one of our mutual friends was like, oh, he's from the Sandlot. I go, wait, which kid? And the only one I really knew, I mean, Pat, Mike, obviously, but then I would see Patrick, you know, every so often here or there. But I was closer to Mike, if anybody. And then Will Horniff was a buddy of mine.
Yeah.
And so, but then I was trying to picture when I met you, and then I had to go my own research. Like, oh, dang, I did not really, you know, now it clicks. But we're going to cut the music break. Again, if you want to check him out, but don't tune out, it's at @Marty_York. We're going to talk about his new documentary, The Sandlot Legend. We'll be back. So I'm going to play out... maybe you could help me, since you're talking about the sound, and we've been playing this a lot, but it may be easier since you could introduce us. What is the state that we're in?
California.
All right, so there we go. So the song's called California, and the artist is Alexander James Rodriguez. So you want to introduce this song?
Yeah, California by Alexander James Rodriguez.
Oh, there you go. On your first shot. There you go. So again, here is California with Alexander James Rodriguez, and we'll be back more with Marty York, actor, producer, and we're going to talk more about his new documentary, The Sandlot Legend. Here we go. One more time. Introduce that one more time, Marty York.
California by Alexander James Rodriguez.
There you go.
All genres, all indie. Listen carefully. The song you are about to hear is an actual independent music submission. Indie 100.
Sun is out and the waves are high. It never rains, so we always shine. Like a dream, and we live it every day. Grab our boards and we're feeling good. In Venice Beach where we're understood. The water's warm and the vibes are great today. Yeah, yeah. Cause this life's a party, like a scene from the movies. Everybody's famous, from Malibu to LA. This is California, where you can get. The beautiful girls, NYC has the diamonds and pearls, but in LA it's the best of both worlds. Yeah, 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 yeah. Cause this life's a party, like a scene from the movies. Everybody's famous, from Malibu to LA. This is California, where you can get.
That was California by Alexander James Rodriguez. If you like that song, let me know. Email me at tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. That's tyrone.indie100@gmail.com. But if you really, really like that song, support him. Check out Alexander James Rodriguez over on Spotify, YouTube, his social medias. Again, that's California by Alexander James Rodriguez. And he's one of our guests of the show as well. And I love supporting that guy. He's one of our dear friends as well. We are back here, though, with my guest of the hour, actor-producer Marty York. One of the stars of The Sandlot, the character. And then we're going to be talking about right now, before we end off the show, his new documentary that he's helping produce called The Sandlot Legend. Do you want to tell the audience a little bit about that, Marty?
Yeah, so we got a documentary called The Sandlot Legend coming out, and it'll probably be coming out next year. And it basically goes into my life, because after the whole acting business, and as I mentioned, you know, I left the business when I was about 17 because I got in a 60-mile-an-hour head-on collision. I died. I actually had to be resuscitated. And had
You physically died?
I physically died on scene. And I actually had to be I had blood transfusions from, like, my mom, my stepdad, my acting coach, his wife. I had to, you know, relearn to walk again. I was in the hospital for about 3 months, shattered both my legs, not broke, shattered. And it was a lot of resuscitation, and it was a lot of hard work. And I just got burnt out because I used to leave school at like 1. I'd get excused early, you know, wake up at like 6 in the morning, get ready for school, get the bus, go to school, and basically go to school and then leave, and then drive 60 miles one way to Hollywood because I lived near Palmdale.
Yeah.
And while I'm trying to have my lines, I'm trying to memorize in the car, and then drive back 60 miles in rush hour traffic. And I would do that like every day.
Wow.
And I fell asleep at the wheel and I crashed. And so that kind of one of the things we touch on in the documentary is kind of like my all the things I did after Sandlot. I was on like 5 of the biggest shows at the time, guest starring roles on some of the biggest shows. And then I, you know, that happened. I left the business, and then a lot of other things happened in my life. My sister died of a drug overdose, my little sister.
Oh, wow. Sorry to hear that.
And then last or 2 years ago, my mother was murdered.
Ugh, wow.
And so it's kind of a movie. It's kind of a documentary about almost like, it's like a Rocky story, kind of like a comeback story. It's kind of like a, you know, because that's what I'm trying to do is come back into the business. And it's been tough, but you know, I found a producer and director that believes in my story, and I shot another documentary for NBC Peacock. It was only a 12-minute one, but it got some of the highest ratings of any documentary, and people were asking for more of it. And I was actually sitting in a bar one night, and I thought it was only going to be on Peacock. All of a sudden, it was on regular NBC.
Wow.
And I go, holy, it's on NBC. Oh, man. And people were hitting them up and saying, we want to see more of this. And I met a producer and director one night in the Frolic Room in L.A., and they believed in the story, and they were like, we would love to do this. And they just come off working on the documentary of Michael Madsen from Reservoir Dogs and Kill Bill.
Yeah. Oh, wait, I might know that documentary.
Yeah, and the Chuck Zito one you went to. They also worked on that.
Okay, That's so awesome.
They did that. They really believe in this, and they believe it'll be one of their biggest ones yet, because my story is on, like, you know, normally if you see a documentary, it's about, let's see, an athlete that breaks both his legs, has to relearn to walk again, and he has to come back. My story is just like one tragedy after another after being the successful actor in this iconic film and coming back and like doing all these signings and Broadway theaters and Major League Baseball stadiums. And it's just a story of resilience, really.
Yeah. Well, that's awesome. And the name so far, it's called The Sandlot Legend.
Yeah, The Sandlot Legend. We got a bunch of young child stars in it that are, you know, talk about the industry and that are friends of mine and about their relationship with me back when we were kids. And
that's awesome. Yeah. And so you're hopefully next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. So maybe come back next year, we'll promote it, you know?
Yeah.
And then you want to give some shout outs to maybe the people involved with the project really quick, or like the filmmaker or the director, anybody? You want to, or not yet?
Yeah. I can say the producer actually wants to keep his name private, but I will shout out to Todd Cosley, who is the director of it.
Okay.
And also everybody that's contributed their time, Edward Furlong, Thomas Ian Nicholas, Natanya Ross.
Yeah.
You know her.
What's up, Natanya?
And just many, many, many more. We got Major League Baseball players in this talking about how Sandlot impacted them.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, cool, man. Again, that's a little tease for us. Yeah. But again, you know, it's very inspiring to hear because this show is ultimately about inspiring others, and we want to inspire those. What inspirational messages can you give to someone out there, Marty York, actor, producer of the new documentary, The Sandlot Legend, that want to maybe do what you do, maybe become an actor, maybe a producer, or just follow their dreams in general?
Just at the same tone of The Sandlot Legend, resilience. This is a business where you're going to get no 1,000 times, and you'll get yes one time, and that one time may change everything. For me, it was The Sandlot. You know, still looking for something else, but you know, Sandlot changed my life, and I will forever be known as that character, and I'm cool with that because I love playing that character. Those guys are like my brothers and people that are really going for this dream. It is a different business. It's a different industry now with social media and YouTube and all these other things that we have. And if you want to do legitimate acting, just stick to it and don't give up.
Well, listen, anything can happen. Look, I've interviewed Kihu Kwan, and he went from the same situation in the sense of, you know, you knew him as one thing and then disappeared in a way, not really disappeared, but was in the business, but doing stunt work. And then he came back strong. Now he's got his Oscar, and then he's just got a star in the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
This is the kind of industry where I tell anybody, anything can happen. Mm-hmm. Anything. There's not really one rule book, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So I believe in you, my man. I really congratulate on not only you know, still being here on this earth, you know, to bless other people with your love and your kindness that you've been through the years, but also your friendship, but also I think a lot of people, you're going to be inspiring a lot of people, and hopefully this documentary as well will be inspiring for a lot. So awesome. Glad to have you. God bless you, buddy. Again, the documentary soon to be coming is called The Sandlot Legend. Again, if you want to check him out, go follow him. That's @Marty_York and on the socials, correct?
That's right.
All right, my man. Well, God bless you. Thank you so much. God bless you all. Thank you all for tuning in. I appreciate, again, still Happy New Year. I know it's we're already a little later into the year, but still, it's still the new year. Happy New Year. God bless you guys. And I'd like to end off my show, Matthew 19:26. In man, things are possible. In God, all things are possible. And we are out. Bye-bye.